I started a 10-series message that's vital to the life of the believer. Now listen to me, church, if you're a member of this church, I've said it before, but I'm telling you, and God has impressed me strongly to encourage you to be in these services. Tonight I'll be doing the second part of this message, but for the next 10 times I preach, now it's going to be broken a couple times because we're going to have a wonderful time with Dr. Mike Brown on March the 8th, and he's going to be here morning and night. But except for that, I'll be preaching, I believe, on my schedule. These are 10 messages that are going to deal with the theme, the thought, the direction God has given me for this year of 2014. 2 years ago, God gave me a message for this church that was clear about the wheat and the chaff, separating unnecessary things in your life in order to be a pure grain of wheat that God can grind into flour that makes bread that is healthy and strong and none tainted with all the doctrines and the things that are in the world today. Last year, God gave me the commitment, the theme of commitment for this church. Now, it doesn't mean that these things start in January and expire at the end of the year. It means that what the Holy Spirit has shown me is these things are, in fact, when he started out with the wheat and the chaff, I saw in my mind's eye in a vision from God a book with a new chapter. It was like a whole divider that was turning over in history. And he said, this is the beginning of a new era and time. And I believe it's the beginning of the end of time when Jesus is going to come. If you believe he's coming soon, say amen. Amen. He showed me what we have to do to be prepared. I believe with all of my heart that God isn't coming after a disheveled, dirty, broken down, whiny, scared, frivolous, not excited, but a depressed, broken bride. I don't believe that. I believe he's coming after a glorious bride without spot or wrinkle. If you believe that, say amen. And I believe he's coming after a healthy church, not a broken down church that's living in a survival mode. We are not survivalists. We're victorious in Jesus. And we're not going to disintegrate the power of God because of the world's continuance into evil. The world's going to become more evil and more evil. But God says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And I find all of my strength through the power of the grace of God that dwells in me. And so these things have started and they're going to continue till the coming of Jesus Christ. The power, the constancy of God in sanctifying you, showing you things you don't need in your life. And when God convicts you, the Holy Ghost convicts you, I don't need this in my life. Get that chaff out of your life, because chaff is, when it's mixed with wheat, it taints the wheat and the bread isn't fit to eat. So remove things. Secondly, was last year the beginning of commitment. More than ever in your life, God is looking for people that are putting him on the top place and the top shelf of their life. Many times and many doctrines today are preaching of religion that puts God on a plane with us. But I'm here to tell you, we're not on any equal stance with the Almighty God. He is holy and must be honored as holy. If you believe that, say amen. And so his holiness is brought about in our service and our walk every day, our faithfulness in church and commitment to serving him. Now this year I prayed and I asked God, and it was right at the end of the year when God showed me what he wants us to understand for 2014. 22 years ago we come into separation and a life of holiness. This last year, a life of commitment. And he said, now it's time to enjoy and see the year of recovery. 2014 is the beginning of the year of recovery for the saint of God. If you're a child of God, you're going to see this begin to happen. You say, Pastor, you're stepping out on a limb. What if you say this and bad things happen? I want to tell you, nothing's going to happen to a child of God that's out of the will of God for your life. Amen? And when you understand that and know that in all things, everything works together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And if you love God this morning and you're saved, say amen. Amen. Then that blessing follows you. If you're not saved and you're here this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this service to accept Jesus Christ into your life and go from death and loss and eternal darkness at the end of your life to a joyful future of a hope and a future of eternal life with Jesus. It's not a fairy tale, it's real. In fact, it's the only reality that exists on this earth today. 2014, the year of recovery, means much more than just getting back what Satan has taken. Listen to this. I'll be reading this for 10 straight messages so we understand this. It's much more than getting back what Satan has taken. It means claiming territory that has been given to you, but territory that you have not laid claim to. Recovery means more than just what you're aware of. It means what is yours. You may not understand. You may not know what is yours in the kingdom of God. It means freedom and power. It means confidence and spiritual exploits. It means new health and new wealth. It means divine joy and provision. It means spiritual discernment and boldness and a manifesting power of the Holy Spirit in your life like you've never experienced. This is the year of recovery. Are you ready for some recovery in your life? You must be aware of the enemy's plans. Change is coming much faster than you're aware. Even now, active, organized, and well-funded groups are working to determined to remove any type of Judeo-Christian influence in America. And they're making new laws that limit and legislate Christianity out of every public forum in our country. The godless acts will further alienate the world from God. But it does not, listen to this, it does not restrict or restrain the life and relationship of a true believer of God. And in fact, it's simply this. The evil times we're living in are just signs of the time that we're living in. No more. They have no more effect on you than that. This year will be a defining year in your life. Either by choosing to or not doing anything, there's going to be change in your life. This is a year of change. It's a year of recovery for the church. It's a year of loss for the world that doesn't know Jesus. If you're a Christian today and wanting for any kind, or if you're looking or waiting for any kind of notice or acceptance from the world, you're going to be in for a long and disappointing wait. This year of recovery is specifically for true believers of Jesus, and it's real. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to be preaching this series in the next several weeks. I'm convinced this, that your relationship with the Holy Spirit is the most important relationship you have once you come to Jesus Christ. And it's the one area that Satan has focused on. In fact, there are two areas Satan has focused on, but one of the biggest areas is the area of separation from relationship with the Holy Spirit. Satan knows. He knows the power of relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so what he has done, he's introduced a number of substitute doctrines that have come into the church. Substitute powers, substitute theologies. The Bible says in the last days that, and it's talking about the church, that there'll even be doctrines of demons that come in that aren't true, that come in with a false front. You see, all heresies come in on the wings of truth. There is always a little bit of truth in heresy. But when you see the purity of the truth of the Word of God, then you're not concerned or you're not trapped in some false doctrine. And Satan is trying his best to remove your relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's trying to stop you from depending on that relationship, but I believe it's this important. I'm convinced that you will not be able to separate truth from lies, opportunities from traps, godly wisdom from social values, or sacrificial life from a self-seeking existence without that strong relationship with the Holy Spirit. There are 8 things the Lord spoke to me about the Holy Spirit does in our life. Listen to this. And these are warning points that you need to be aware of. Warning points that tell you that you're being sucked into some type of theology that's far from the truth of the Word of God. Listen to these. They're prevalent in the church world today. When godless values and sin becomes more acceptable in society and less repulsive and easier to tolerate in the church. That's a warning sign. When new acts of sin, new depths of evil behavior justify old sins as less than evil. That's a warning sign. When righteous judgment and holiness are condemned in the church as legalistic or judgmental, or intolerant by so-called religious rulers or leaders, that is a warning point that we're separating from the sincere understanding and discernment of the Holy Spirit. When righteous people allow a godless society to define moral values or tell believers what God's word said, that is a warning sign for you to look for in your life. When churches allow government to separate God from any area of existence in our American life, that is a warning sign that Christians should stand up and say, "Not on my watch." If you believe that, say amen. When commitment to God is driven by current Christian trends rather than love for Jesus and a hunger for His Word, that is a warning sign in your life. And when church attendance becomes optional as necessary as your need for God and God's help, that is a warning sign. Attendance should be a greater commitment in your life than ever before. Jesus tells us as the end comes, as we come toward the end, even more so define in your life and determine in your life, "I'll be in the house of God." That's where He speaks to you and gives you His word. When we begin to compare our righteousness to that of others as an acceptable measure of righteousness to God, that is a warning sign. These are things that Christians today in the last days, in the deception that's coming onto this earth, need to be aware of. There are 10 areas I'm going to be preaching to you. The first and last week, and these tapes will be available. In fact, last Sunday night, there's a stack on the back table you can pick up. And you can every Sunday. At the end of this, we'll make these tapes available in a package. The first one is personal purity. Without personal purity, and that's the attack of the enemy today on your mind, in your life, and things you do, and incorporating holiness and righteousness in your life, not society's definition of moral values or rights, but personal purity. Without that, you cannot go any further in this walk with God. And that's the attack the enemy's bringing on you today. That's why pornography is as big as it is in the world today. That's why sin runs like it does today. That's why the different things that have destroyed the church are continuing to destroy the church. The sins that are destroying the world, there should not be a comparable percentage in the church, my friend. And today, the comparable percentage in the church of statistics to the world of sin is, sad to say, almost the same. There should be a difference in the life of the believer. If you're truly a child of God and you're going to see Jesus, you have to live a life that's separate from the world, and purity is the only possible way. If you believe that, say amen. This week I'm going to be speaking to you on prayer. this morning and tonight, next week on your commitment to your church, the following week, and 10 years, 11 years now going on that I've pastored this church, I've never one time preached on tithe, and that's my downfall. I'll be preaching on the power of tithing in your life. These are 10 things that are going to cause restoration to come into your life. On the fifth one, we'll be deepening your relationship with the Holy Spirit and the power and the value of that. The next one, number six, is limiting worldly influence in your life. We have become desensitized by the world in the church, and it's time that we stand up and shake off these things that have come in to the church and caused us to be trying to be like the world instead of lead the world to Jesus. It's time for holiness again. If you believe that, say amen. The next one is becoming a godly influence to others. I want you to have the power to walk into a place, to walk into a circumstance, and have the Holy Spirit active in your life because of the steps we've already followed to a point that people will sense God's presence in your life. That will open doors of opportunity for you, and chains will be broken off of the lives of people that God puts you in their presence. The next one is leading people to Jesus using your personal testimony. There's nothing more powerful on the face of this earth than your own personal experience. Mine's pretty vanilla, Pastor. My friends, listen to me. If you went from eternally lost to saved, if you went from on your way to a dark an oppressive and eternal hell to a glorious redeemed heaven, I don't care how you did it or what happened, it's the experience of being saved that's powerful, and you've experienced it, and when you share that with others, your personal testimony, God will match you with the people that need to hear your word, and he'll place them in your path, and you'll lead folks to Christ. The next one is encouraging people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This power that God has given us isn't just a suggestion. He said it's the natural progress for the believers. When Jesus ascended to be on high in the book of Acts in chapter 1, he said, go and tarry. I'm going to send you this comforter, this gift. You're going to be endued with power, and you're going to be able to function. Every writer in the New Testament, you see, as we write the Gospels and we see the work of God throughout all the way to the book of Revelation, is a spirit-filled believer. And it didn't stop at the apostolic age. It continued, and it's for the believer today. It's real. And the last one is understanding and using the power of fasting. We're in a month of fasting. You'll be stronger. There'll be a spiritual cleansing that happens to you when you're fasting. You're going to be able to hear God better. You're going to be able to speak his word better. You're going to be able to have more understanding than you've ever had, because you've separated things out of your life that would block the presence of God, even to the point of food, and asking God to speak to you. He'll not only speak to you, he'll answer you. Today we're going to talk about prayer. When I look at prayer in the life of believers and in the Word of God, I see some incredible things. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are released by the Sanhedrin. What had they done? Healed a man that was lame on their way to pray. They were going to the temple. It was the hour of prayer. And when they walked in, a man that was lame was there, and they had that power in their lives. They knew the power of prayer. The man said, do you have alms for the poor? They said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we'll give you in the name of Jesus. See that relationship? That relationship comes not because you have something that God owes you after you become a child of God. He doesn't owe us anything. When he redeemed us and gave us eternal life, we didn't get some bill of entitlement that makes God do things for us. It's out of his mercy and grace and love to us that God does everything for us. If you believe that, say amen. They knew that God had redeemed them. They knew Jesus was the Messiah. They saw him ascend into the presence of God. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. They saw the power that came from a life separated from the world and pure with God. And now they were operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And they literally spoke the word and the man stood up. From crippled to perfectly healthy because of prayer in their life, relationship with Christ. Now they got in trouble and they were thrown in jail, and we're going to chapter 4, and the Bible says the priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people, and they were greatly disturbed by what they heard, and people got all upset because of what Peter and John were doing. And finally we get down, listen to this, and they were released from prison. And in chapter 4, verse 23, let me take it up there. On their release, this is after they were in prison for this. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. Here's what they said: quit using the name of Jesus. If you don't get anything out of these 10 series, then this. I'm going to tell you 10 things that Satan doesn't want you to know. 10 things that Satan does his very best to blind the eyes of believers from seeing. These 10 powerful things in your life, when the scales fall out, when you realize what God has for you, and you incorporate that in your life in an act of holiness and dedication, surrender and obedience to God. When you begin to do that and the blinders are taken off, you're going to operate, your life is going to operate in a realm of holiness and relationship with God like you've never experienced in your life up to this point. Never experienced these things. So you need to understand how important it is. The name of Jesus is something Satan does not want you to speak. He doesn't want you to use it. That's why you can pray. You can pray a Hindu prayer, a Buddhist prayer, a vegan, any kind of prayer you want to pray, as long as you don't pray a prayer and say, in Jesus' name. That's the biggest fight they have on Duck Dynasty, that there's a bunch of Christians on that show and they use the name Jesus, the most viewed show on television. And the biggest battle is praying and using the name of Jesus on that show and talking about their Lord. Satan doesn't want that name to be used, but I'm here to tell you, take the blinders off. All power of God is encapsulated in the name of Jesus. When you pray in Jesus' name. When you lift up your voice, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit using the name of Jesus. When you say amen, say in Jesus' name and seal the deal, because that's the power in your life. The chief priests and elders said to them what they said, and Peter and John are telling them about this. And Peter begins to pray with these people. Chapter 4, verse 24. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And he said, Sovereign Lord, they said you made the heaven and the earth and in the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant and our father David. And this is a quote from Psalms chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. In Psalms, they were saying, why? Who do you think you are that you have the power to come against the power of God? It's foolish. It's idiotic. Who do you think you are? And then he goes on to say, indeed, chapter 4, verse 27, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and your will decided beforehand should happen. They just followed God's plan unknowingly. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak your word with boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal. Perform miracles, miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And listen to what happened. This was a prayer. This is the power of prayer. The Bible says that after he prayed that, in verse 31, 431, circle it in your Bible. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and filled. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You see, prayer is a powerful communication source between you and God. It's more powerful than you understand. In fact, it's so powerful in your life that Satan will do everything he can to cause you to become apathetic toward prayer. Yes, it's there. It's available if I need it. But it's not a need kind of thing. Prayer, and you're going to hear this phrase many times in this message, prayer is not a burden. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a privilege. Let me ask you a question I asked the choir this morning. I hinted on it Wednesday night. Now listen to me closely and consider this. What if right now, this very moment, you lost any ability to pray right now? I want you to consider where you would be. I want you to consider how much you actually do pray and depend on God. What if this very second you no longer could ask God for anything and have God hear your voice? You couldn't praise him. You couldn't worship him. You couldn't call on him in the midnight hour. You couldn't ask him for healing. You couldn't even ask him for forgiveness. You had no more communication with God. How precious would prayer be to you now? You see, many times we don't know what we've got till we lose it. I'm not saying you're going to lose the power of prayer, but I am telling you this. There is one who has, and his name is Satan. And one thing Satan cannot do is pray. He cannot pray. He has lost his ability to have any intimacy with God. There's communication because he was created by God. Only he has to answer to God. But Satan has no power to communicate on an intimate level with God through prayer and have anything done. He is on a disaster course to destruction by his own doing, and he is evil, and his intent is to take you with him to an eternal hell because of your lack of relationship with God. And anything he can do to worm into your life, into your mind, into your spirit, anything he can do to separate you from relationship with God, he'll do it. And one of the biggest things is the laziness and the apathy in the church, that we don't pray any longer unless we have a headache or need a new car. But that's not what prayer is for. You see, here's what prayer does for you. Listen to me. Prayer is the greatest form of communication that's ever been created. It's greater than the internet or email. It's greater than texting or all the other goofy things that we do today. Prayer is a direct line to God, and the Holy Spirit gives us that direct power to communicate with the Almighty God, and he hears you when you call on his name. Now, Satan being created, You have to understand something about Satan. I'm going to diminish your opinion of him as I can, as often as I can. I'm going to cause you to understand him more. Now, don't think that we have an equal fight between you and Satan. He's a supernatural being, but he's created. You understand? He's created. The fact he's created, he does not have the three character traits of God. He is not omnipresent. He is one individual contained to one body that has the angels that fell from heaven with him report to him. They've now taken on the status of demons. So he has the reports of demonic activity, but he is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent, which means all powerful. He is limited in his power by God's word. And when you, as a child of God, have incorporated God's word into your life, you have the power to break the power of the devil in you. It's not your power. It's God's power that he's given us. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. And here's the greatest. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know from the next minute ahead of him what's going on and what's going to happen. He can guess. He can surmise. You and I can do that. But we don't know. If I'm driving a car down the road and there's a hairpin curve, as far as I know, I've been there before. And Satan's been a lot of experiences. And he thinks that's what's going to happen. I can believe that when I'm driving down the road. I can know that this curve goes like this, and I surmise I'm going to go around it. But if there is a road or a tree that's fallen across that road, I wouldn't know it. I don't have any idea. Satan is not omniscient. He doesn't know a minute ahead of him. He can't pray and find out. But I've got some of the greatest news I've ever discovered in the Word of God today, if you'll listen to me. If you'll make purity a point in your life, and you'll learn the power of prayer, and you'll continue these 10 points, you're going to change your environment and take control. You're going to go from the defense to the offense through the power of prayer. Here's the great thing. When you pray as a child of God, God gives you revelation. He gives you discernment, and he tells you about the future. He warns you. He impresses you. He gives you understanding that the world doesn't have. When these men begin to pray and this prayer began to take place in this house, there was a shaking that went on. There was a powerful thing that happened because prayer called the presence of the Holy Spirit into place. I discovered this a few months ago, and I've told it because I can't tell it enough. Something about God that I discovered when I was praying one day and I was praising him, the Holy Spirit stopped me in my tracks and asked me a question. Do you think God needs your praise? Absolutely. He might not make it without my praise. He has to have my praise to keep strong and be powerful and be God. And the Holy Spirit said, no, God doesn't need your praise at all. He does not need your praise. He has tens of millions of angelic choirs that sing with precision and glory, and the orchestras of heaven hit a note and the angels sing praise to God like we can never match. He said he doesn't need your praise. Here's why God wants you to praise him. Because when you praise him, if you're listening, say amen. This is very important. When you praise him, God accepts the praise, and that's when, in praise, he expands his glory into your presence. And that's how we come into the presence of God, and his glory is extended to us through praise. That's why praise is so important. You see, that's another attribute of God. That praise isn't even about him. He loves you so much that everything God does is about you. It's about you. Praise me. Because when you praise me, I open up the glory of God, and you can come into my glorious presence. And in my presence, I don't care if the doctor told you you got a week to live, or you've lost your job, or your wife or your husband walks out on you, or they've taken your house in bankruptcy and you've been fired from your job and people curse you. When you're in the presence of God, you have an understanding that all is well because of the power of God. I'm constantly reminded of Luther Bridges, the author and poet and preacher, when he stepped down off of a train in Kentucky and walked through snow to his knees through a large grove of trees, only to break out to see in the distance where his home would be, anxious to come home to his wife and five children. And when he walked through the trees and looked, he saw nothing but a column of smoke where his house once stood. And he ran, carrying an old wooden suitcase, all the way to where the charred remains of his wife and children had died in a flue fire that burnt their wood farmhouse down. He had come from preaching revivals, and many people would say, "Is that what God does?" But it was past that. Praise will cause you to understand that there's no circumstance you'll ever endure that's greater than God in your life. When everything was said and done with Job and he had lost it all and gained it all back, the gain didn't mean as much to him as this. He said, at the end of the day, when it's all happened, there's one thing I know: you're still God in my life. You're still God. Luther Bridges took his paper out of his coat and sat down in the snow when he saw the devastation and the death of his wife and children. Pulled out a piece of paper and wrote a song that we sang so jolly and frivolously in church today, not understanding the meaning, but understanding that prayer causes you to have a depth of relationship with God that'll take you through hell and bring you back victorious. He said, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know." That's the song. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing. Only in prayer can you have that kind of power. That's not something that God just gives away. We're not entitled to anything. Contrary to what you've been told before, you qualify yourself for the blessings of God. Purity is how you qualify yourself. Holiness with God and prayer is how you qualify with God, because that is when he extends his glory to the believer. In your darkest days, in the days you feel like you're a failure, chapter 1 of the book of Samuel, the word of God says that there was a man, a certain man, from the hill country. He was an Ephraimite. His name was Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives. One of their wives was named Hannah. Peniah had children, but Hannah had none. In chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says that once when they had finished eating, they were coming now to the time of sacrifice, the festivals of God, and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair at the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Well, I thought if you prayed to God, you had to get a hold of your emotions and say, "Now, God, regardless of what I'm going through in my life, I'm going to stand up here strong and acknowledge your God." And I'm going to tell you something. You haven't been in the valley if you haven't been on your face before God, broken, crying, and praying. There have been times in my life, in sorrows in my life, when I've walked outside at night and looked at the skies and couldn't even utter a prayer and simply said, "God, you know. Because he's omniscient. He knew it all. I was just saying, "God, you're my only source of strength. I have no longer put my strength anywhere else save you. She was praying, and she made a vow saying, Lord, oh Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor, he'll be a Nazarite, will ever be used on his head. She kept on praying to the Lord, and Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. She was in such deep despair. Eli accused her of being drunk, but she said, I'm not drunk. In fact, I'm a virtuous woman, and I've just asked God. I'm pouring out my heart to God. And Eli says, okay, whatever you want, you got. I'm going to tell you something. Prayer supersedes anything or anybody about you. Eli wasn't in a state to give a blessing. He was in a state of hypocrisy and in a state of he had already let his sons, the two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, destroy the temple with lavish sin. They had temple prostitutes. They were taking all the money from the people and keeping it for themselves. It sounds like something today. Boy, that was quiet. I believe everything about God's holy. I believe his money's holy too. And we better use it with respect. So she said, God spoke through the prophet, or through the priest Eli, and said, I'm going to have a child. She went back, and about the next time the festival happened, she comes back with a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. You know, that's how I got my name. My mother had a toxic situation in her body, and the doctors told them that one of the two are you are going to die. It's impossible for you and the baby to live. My sister was 12 years old then, and she can relate the story to me well. Mother was very sick. They thought she was going to die, and she said, let me die, but God, I pray that you take this boy that's born to me and that you, God, use this child for your glory. And she gave me, she asked of God, and they named me Samuel. That's what Hannah did. Ask of God. God healed my mother and me, and we've been and we'll be together again for a long time. God's good, isn't he? You see, anything you give to God, God's not going to just keep it. He's going to give you back manifest blessing. Hannah had a child. She gave the child to God. He became the last and greatest prophet and judge of the nation of Israel. His name was Samuel. Hannah then says this in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. Then Hannah prayed and said, listen now, we saw Hannah over here on the corner of the altar, couldn't even make a noise. She was weeping so deeply and crying. Her lips were moving, but no sound was coming out, calling on God in prayer, asking God for a son. He not only gave her one, he gave her a whole handful of children. And now we see her when she received. You see, it's as important to pray in the day of sorrow as it is in the day of joy when you're on top. Praise, prayer brings you into the presence of God, and your environment makes no difference to God. He just wants you to share in his glory. And that's more important than anything. She said, then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Can you say amen to that? The power of prayer in your life is absolutely unbelievable. Now listen to these notes and listen very closely as the Lord has given them to me. Prayer is far more than a check on the list of good things Christians do. In fact, to a child of God, prayer is as essential as eating or breathing is to sustaining life. Learning the value of communicating to God through prayer is one of the greatest sources of power that Jesus made available to you, his child. On Satan's list of things he wants to keep hidden from you, prayer is at the top. Satan knows too well what happens when a redeemed man or woman learns the effective power of this two-way line of communication and what can happen with prayer in the hands of a child of God. The truth is that Satan has lost the ability to pray. Think about it. No ability to have any relationship with God. No possibility to ever pray and have relationship with God ever again. That's where I say prayer is not a burden, but prayer is a privilege. If you believe that, say amen. Prayer is a window into your future. I'm going to preach on this tonight in the life of David, where God showed him the plans of his enemy and gave him a plan to destroy his enemy. And I'm going to teach you tonight where prayer will bring you from the defensive to the offensive, and you're going to be on the offensive delivering and destroying the hands and the acts of the devil through prayer. And there is no other medium or other way to do it than that way. Prayer is a window into your future. Whereas we are not omniscient, all-knowing, God is. Just as we do not know our future, neither does Satan. He does not know from one moment to the next what the future holds. When you pray, God reveals the future to you. He warns you with discernment. Now listen to what prayer does. He warns you through discernment. He guides you with wisdom and protects you with insight into the devil's schemes, and that can only be gained through the intimacy of a child of God speaking to God in prayer. No other way. You will learn that prayer gives you the advantage over the enemy in a number of ways. Through prayer, you move from the defense position to the offense. Remember, Satan is a created being and he is not omniscient. Our God is omniscient and he shares his all-knowing knowledge and our future with us through prayer. Now listen to these points. Prayer is confidence in decision making. Prayer is peace in any circumstances, good or bad. Prayer gives you strength to face difficult times and come through them. The incomparable joy of close communion with the Almighty God is only found through prayer. No wonder Satan doesn't want you to pray. It's something Satan has lost, and he knows that you who have accepted Jesus possess this great treasure. Think about it. What would it be like if you lost the ability to pray, to speak to God, to hear his voice, to realize and experience God's indwelling spirit? Here's points of an effective prayer life, and listen to me. Prayer must be a priority, not a passing conversation in your life. Are you listening? It must be a priority in your everyday life. Secondly, your day must be designed around prayer, not prayer around your day. It's a priority. Prayer must be a conversation with God, not a routine phrase or repetitious sayings. Talk to God. That's what prayer is, talking to God. Prayer must incorporate praise, because praise brings you into the presence of God. That is where you grow and learn and find rest and strength and direction from God. Prayer isn't a one-sided conversation. You must learn in prayer and praise to listen and hear God speak to you. He will, if you'll listen. Prayer is a window into your future. God will reveal His will to you. He will warn you of the enemy's plans, and He will guide you with wisdom through prayer. There are victories. Listen to this phrase the Holy Spirit gave me, and it's so true. You'll hear it tonight. Victories follow prayer. Prayer don't follow victories. Did you hear me? Victory, we're in the pickle. Let's pray. Why don't we pray and God give us the power over the pickle? Prayer is not a privilege, is not a burden, it's a privilege. Prayer changes you and allows your faith to reach into God's endless possibilities. Prayer allows you to enter a realm of God that Satan is forbidden to come near. Prayer is your absolute source of strength with God. Prayer is a window into your future, and prayer is the most powerful offensive tool that you have for yourself and for the lives of others. I was sitting in my house last night, and the wife of a great preacher called me and said he's had a stroke. He's in the hospital, and he's going to recover, but he's discouraged. It isn't happening as soon. Would you call him? And I picked up the phone, and I called this man of God and began to remind him of the power of the Holy Spirit in his life and the exploits God had done through him, the missionary work to Russia and Romania and around the world, and the mighty things God had done through prayer. And then I blessed him with a prayer of health and healing and restoration and changing. And I prayed for the peace of God that passes understanding. And I used the tool that God has given me to take care of my friends. My friends, when you have the power to pray, you can protect your lives, your wives and husbands, your children, your family, your business, and everything about you, because prayer is an all-encompassing power that brings us into the glory of the Almighty God, and He's more than willing to share His power with us. But it comes through prayer. First, a life of purity. And when you say, God, I've determined to be obedient, to sacrifice my life for you. When I'm obedient and sacrificial in my life, and I put you first, I place you high above everything else. Being a child of God isn't a facet of my life. It is my life. That's when God begins to work in your life. He's first. And then you come to the Father through this incredible medium of prayer that Jesus opened when He split the veil and opened up to the holies of holies so we can communicate with the Almighty God. Do you see prayer in a new light now? Do you see? I hope. I did. These are revelations God has given to me. Truths that I knew, but I didn't understand in depth, but now I do, because I'm using the power of prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit to pull the dark glasses off of my eyes as a child of God and to see clearly. You see, some of you are suffering needlessly. Some of you are worried and depressed and sorrowful. Needlessly. Well, if I just confess it away, no, that's baloney. That's what that is. I believe in positive confession. I absolutely do. But let me explain something to you. There's nothing more powerful than going to God. If you're sitting in a corner so broken you can't even talk, or if you're joyful after the victory of having that child, it doesn't matter. There's nothing more powerful than going to God in prayer, regardless of your emotional state. You go to God. If you're broken, go to God. If you're worried and you're afraid and you have fear, and you go to God. Look at the Psalms. It's full of David's words that told him, the enemy's coming, they're chasing me. What am I going to do? My only refuge in you. But you are my refuge, because as he continued to pray, the revelation of who God was became stronger and stronger in his life. Yes, the initial shock is tough and it's hard, but even after the shock, if we'll just say, oh God, and come into his presence, he'll open up his life and his word to you like you've never experienced it through prayer. Prayer is powerful to you, child of God. Satan's forbidden to go into that area, but you have access through the blood of Jesus. Two questions I'm going to ask you this morning. First, you may be sitting here without Christ, and if you are, I want to make this as clear as I can be. If you're a child of God, he hears you when you call him. He answers you. If you're not a child, if you're not serving Jesus,